of applause, all right? Fantastic. Please be seated. Thank you. I'm so glad and so honored to be able to come here and share some time with you and share some thoughts and some ideas. And I want you to give yourselves a round of applause, please. All right. Raise your hand. Very good. Shake someone's hand with your right or left and say, your dream is about to happen. Do that right. But I do believe that there's more for me to do, and I want to ask you a question. How many of you know, if you had your life to live over again, you could have done more than what you've done thus far? Raise your hands. Now, that proves the point that what we do and what we accomplish in life is only a tip of the iceberg of what's possible for us. I saw some young men out front, and I want you to give the Get Motivated staff a tremendous round of applause. So I don't see them as staff people. I see them as individuals just like you and I, who are now working on another level in their lives. I look at my life, and as I look back, I now realize every meeting, every lecture, every book I read, all of the experiences I've had have led to who I am right now. And so now I know that there are people who were here earlier, they're not here now. And the reason that they're not here is because what I have is not for them, it's for you. I only attract millionaires and millionaires in training. But the reason that you're still here is because you're here for something that will confirm and validate that which you already know. Everything that I'm going to say, you already know it. Everything that I'm going to share with you right now are things that you believe, things that's in you now, things that you shared with other people. And so this is only a breakthrough moment. Let us say together, breakthrough moment.
Breakthrough moment.
See, dreams come by hearing and hearing and hearing it. Yes. And you need to hear some things over and over and over again. My partner's not here, Dr. Julie Van Putten. When they looked at me 3 years ago at the Florida hospital and said, Mr. Brown, cancer's metastasized to your bones in 7 different areas. And now she's an idiot. It shifted my thinking that this was not a struggle I had, that this is a knowing that it's already done.
Amen.
So I want you right now to, as you look at your life, I want you to think about what's the one major goal you'd like to achieve. I want you to think about that. By the way, I'm looking for some proteges. I'm looking for 21. The information is on your screen right now. Email me at lesbrowntrainings.com. People 21 proteges, people that I can work with very closely. Or you can text me all caps Les Brown to 33444. 33444. And these individuals that I'm spending some time with and teach you some things that I've learned. Number one, how to communicate from the heart. How many of you know when you are able to communicate from the heart, that you can can connect with people? Raise your hands, please. How many of you know that there's no such thing as job security? Raise your hands, please. Yes, and so this time that we're going to spend together, I'm going to share with you some concrete steps, things you can do that I have done that can help you to have a breakthrough moment. I was born in a poor section of Miami, Florida called Liberty City. Liberty City in the house, okay? Liberty, all right, come on. And so I was born in a abandoned building on a floor in a poor section of Miami, Florida called Liberty City. And when Wesley and I, my twin brother, when we were 6 weeks of age, we were adopted by Mrs. Mimi Brown. And I stand on this stage because of two women. One gave me life, the other one gave me love. And God took me out of my biological mother's womb and placed me in the heart of my adopted mother. And my first major goal was to buy her a home. My mother worked for wealthy families on Miami Beach. She cooked for these families, and we moved left over from the families that she cooked for. She kept their children, and we wore the hand-me-down clothes of the children that she kept. And I remember walking around these big, beautiful mansions and saying, Mama, what is it, Leslie? When I become a man, I'm going to buy you a big, beautiful home just like this. How many of you have somebody special you'd like to do something for? Raise your hands, please. Very good. I'm going to share with you how to begin to make that happen. The first step is I want you to think about it, and I want you to envision that it's already done. I want you to see in your mind's eye that you have the key, the transaction has been taken care of, you have the emotional feeling that it's already done. And so that was my vision and goal. That was the first goal I had. And so I then did something else. Hold just a minute. Let me tell them I can hear them. It's very distracting. So the next thing is that as you look at your goals and dreams, one of the first things is that you have to hold a vision of that goal already being accomplished. Now, we instructed in my favorite book, you know, you must call forth those things that be not as though they were. And so you want to hold a vision of that goal already accomplished. And everybody repeat after me, please. Assumption.
Assumption.
I want you to assume right now, from this day forward, the things that you want, that it's done. I want you to assume that it's done. And don't judge yourself based upon what you don't have. Don't judge yourself based upon your credit or the bills that you have, or that you're unemployed or been laid off. Don't judge yourself by that. Judge not according to appearances. None of that really matters. You have something special. You have greatness within you. You have the ability to do more than you can ever begin to imagine. There's a presence, there's a power in you that's greater than anything that you're facing. And I'm telling you this from a place of knowing. I don't believe this. I know this to be true because of my own experiences. I'm thinking about a man who changed my life. I walked in his classroom one day. He said, young man, well, go to the board and work this problem out for me. I said, sir, I can't do that. He says, why not? I said, I'm not one of his students. He said, look at me. Yes, sir. Go to the board and work the problem out anyhow. I said, I can't, sir. And then the other students started laughing, saying, he's Leslie. He's got a twin brother, Wesley. Wesley's far. He's DT. He said, what's DT? He's the dumb twin. And many of the students erupted in laughter. And I said, I am, sir. And he came from behind his desk. He looked at me. He said, don't you ever say that again. Someone's opinion of you does not have to become your reality. And so that was a turning point in my life. On one hand, I was humiliated. But on the other hand, I was liberated because he looked at me with the eyes of Gerda, who said, look at a man the way that he is, he only becomes worse. But look at him as if he were what he could be, then he becomes what he should be. And so when I look at you, I'm standing in the presence of greatness. When I look at you, I'm standing in the presence of people who have goals and dreams that are destined to happen. When I stand before you and I look out over this audience here, what I know about you based upon my own experience, that the best is yet to come. Give yourself and your dreams a round of applause. mind to serve you. How many of you have ever thought about somebody and they call you out of the blue? Raise your hands, please. Thoughts have magnetic power. A psychologist said we think 30 to 40,000 thoughts a day. I was about to call a friend the other day and he was calling me at the same time. And so part of disciplining yourself is, as I did with this home that I wanted to purchase for my mother, I got a picture of the home. I did this before I had the money to pay down rent. This is even before the contract. I got a picture of the home, and I drove by when I got off of work every day just to look at it, and I would say, I give thanks. This is mine. Let us sit together. Claim what you want. Assume that it's yours. And then I wanted to make sure that it was not something that I liked, but it was something that my mother liked. And so I drove her by there, and my mother said, slow down, Leslie. And I said, what is it, Mama? She said, look at that. That is a beautiful home. She said, if I lived in something like that, I would feel like Mrs. Rockefeller. Mrs. Rockefeller was the wife of John D. Rockefeller, who was a very wealthy man during that time. And I said, you really like that? And she said, yes. And I said to myself, all right, I know I'm on the right track. And so I then began to create an idea of what I wanted to do. What value do you bring? And what I mean by that, in order to have the things that you want, you've got to bring some value. What talent? What skills? What information? What abilities that you bring that you exchange in the marketplace that will allow you to begin to generate the money needed for you to earn the money that you can purchase what it is you want to purchase. How many of you like to travel? Raise your hands, please. Very good. Those 21 cottages can show you how to do that. I've traveled 23 countries in the last year and a half. How many of you like to travel first class, five-star hotel, and have somebody else pay for it? Jason wants to have right and left and say, that's my future. That's my future.
My future.
Yes, your future.
Your dream is powered by passion. Write this down. Your dream is powered by passion. You want to find something you love to do. You don't want to do something just to make some money. You want to do something that's in alignment with who you are, with your values. How many like to earn money helping people? Raise your hands. Very good. So this is what I did. I found something I love to do. And I wanted to see Zig Ziglar and many other speakers, and I loved and I admired them. And I had a friend who told me, Leslie, I said, what is it? Brownie, listen to me. You can do that. I said, come on, man. Yes, Brownie, you have the ability to do that. You know why you go see them? I said, why? Because that's you. You love to do that. But I couldn't see that. I said, come on, man. I don't have a college education. I never worked for a major corporation. When I was in fifth grade, I was labeled educable mentor retired and put back from the fifth grade to the fourth grade. You know that, Mike. I failed again when I was in the eighth grade. Come on, man. He said, listen to me. You have the ability to do this. And all of a sudden, the phone went dead. I called back and said, we lost the signal. He said, we didn't lose the signal. I said, what happened? He said, I hung up on you. I said, why would you do that? He said, because when you argue for your limitations, you get to keep them. How many of you have somebody see something in you that you didn't see in yourself? Raise your hands for it. And so I didn't see it in myself at that time. And here's something I discovered. Sometimes you have to believe in somebody's belief in you until your belief kicks in. So here's what I know, based upon my own experience. Because I said, Lord, when I make it, let me have the ability and talent to communicate with people and to share with them what I have learned. And what I've learned, you got to assume that you're already there. That has got to be your magnificent obsession. You're not given the luxury to look at things that's distracting, to look at things that does not tell you who you truly are. And the reason that most people don't achieve their goals because they are victims of what I call weapons of mass distractions. They're distracted by things that are on television, distracted by negative conversations. They're distracted by things that does not lead them in the direction of their dream. And so so you've got to be pointed in the direction of where you want to go. And I'm with workshops, just like you're doing right here, things that will improve me. And Mr. Washington said, Mr. Brown, there are three things that's important in becoming successful. And I said, what it is? He says, number one, you've got to work on your mind. But you don't get in life what you want, you get in life what you are. So I want you to go to LesBrownTrainings.com, and we'll send you some motivational materials that you watch on a regular basis, and it's going to retrain your thinking. The next thing he told me that was very important to help me to overcome a poverty consciousness, because I did not know. So we did a study, and this study was done by Dr. Michael Seelman. He's a professor at a university, and they did this 26-year study on self-esteem. And what they found, between the ages of 0 and 5, we form a mindset of what's available to us and what's not available. Between 0 and 5, we develop permanent personality characteristics. Between 0 and 5, we formulate, based upon the people in our lives, based upon the things that we see and observe, because we're not old enough to disintegrate and to filter the things that's in our best interest, we formulate a belief system based upon our environment. Am I making sense with you on that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why we're told we need not conform to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, if we promoted an event with entertainment, you couldn't get to this place, because we have an entertainment-driven culture. You are here because you have an achievement-driven mindset. There's some things that you want to produce. There's some things that you want to achieve with your life. And so when you get a car to train your thinking, that you have on one side a vision, a picture of what it is you want to achieve. On the flip side, you write, ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened. And you read this card every day. I give thanks that I purchased this home for my mother. I give thanks that it is done. I read that 2 to 3 times a day, many times more. This is exactly what you want to do. And then I decided that I was going to use speaking as my instrument, and all of us can do it. Write this down. This is major. People who left, they're missing out on this. Knowledge is the new currency. Knowledge is the new currency. How many of you have learned some things that will be a benefit to people? Raise your hands, please. How many of you have learned some things through work or through observation that you feel that you can make some money with? Raise your hands, please. Very good. How many of you have some setbacks and failures in your life that you can help people from? Raise your hands. How many had moments in your life like me where you were temporarily insane? Raise your hands. Some of you will raise 2 hands. Yeah. I can tell you, at this stage of my life, and I'm 71, I can tell you that this stage of my life. Thank you. I'm good for 71 again. To 6 hours a week doing something that's not you, it will age you. Many of you are here because you're not mentally fit to work for somebody for the rest of your life. You're the place where I was the last job I had. I said, you're about to make me lose my mind. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? So we're coming up to say, Lord, you say, I got to do something else. This is not it for me. I've had it. And so as you look at your life and look at your goals and dreams, I believe you were not born to work for a living, but to live your making, and living your making will make your living. I talk in my sleep. I love to talk. I used to get in trouble all the time. Mama would say, boy, your mouth is like a refrigerator. You can't keep nothing. You know? And so I had to find something that I could do that's me. How many of you realize that's you too? Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Put your hands over your heart right now. Put your right hand over your heart. Say, I'm here.
I'm here.
Because it's my time.
Because it's my time.
I must do. What's in my heart?
What's in my heart?
I have the ability.
I have the ability.
I have the talents.
I have the talents.
everything I need.
Everything I need.
The money.
The money.
The resources.
The resources.
The contacts.
The contacts.
Are coming to me right now.
Are coming to me right now.
This is my time.
This is my time.
I'm destined for greatness.
I'm destined for greatness.
That's why I'm here.
That's why I'm here.
Shake someone's hand on your right and left and say, let's go big. Let's go big.
Let's go big.
We're eating sugar cane. Anybody here ever eat sugar cane? We're eating sugar cane. And so we're putting up in Comedy Strip in area, but that was the blueprint, the original blueprint for me, determining what was available and what was not available. But doing what it is you're doing now, going to self-development conferences, it helped me to expand my vision of myself. So let me share with you how I earned my first million. I tell a story of how I became a disc jockey. How many of you have heard the story? Raise your hands first. Now, so I'm gonna share with you how you can earn money with your story. Now, when I started out, they had what we call cassettes. How many of you remember the cassettes, all right? So let's say right now, you have telephone? Give me a cell phone right here. Right now, you can, with this, you can run a multi-million-dollar business. How many of y'all saw Eric walk home today? Stand up here. Give me a round of applause. I'm one of his mentees. He's my mentor. You want to be learning how to sell your stuff, your ideas, your business. This is somebody you want to talk to before he leaves here. But I run my business from this. Now, I'm going to show you how I made my first million. How many of you want to know?
Yeah.
Very good. Now, I went to a studio. I recorded some material. And you want to record, let's say you have a concept on how to be in your children's lives after divorce. That's information, right? You talk for 20 minutes on your iPhone or your whatever phone that you use. Okay? Now. So now you can get this duplicated. During the time I did it, you had to go to a studio and you had to record. Now, I recorded in this studio, getting unstuck, keys to self-motivation, you gotta be hungry, and the power of a large vision. Four talks, $10 each. I put a rubber band around them and I sold them. Now, I gave myself 5 years to make my first million. If you've got a product that's $10, how many would you have to sell to get a million? How many would you have to sell?
100,000.
How many?
100,000.
If you have $10 each, and you got to have a million.
100,000.
100,000. How many? I'm not a math person. I'm
in
special education. Now, let's do this. So, if I sold four, now it's $40, how many do I have to sell now? 25,000, right? I gave three speeches, and because of things that I learned from Eric in areas of sales, it took me 3 years rather than five. I did 1,600,000. Now you can create a product on your phone, and you don't even have to have it duplicated. Now you can download it,
right,
yeah. Like iTunes. You hear what I'm telling you? First of all, y'all need to give me a round of applause right now. Yeah. We're going to talk on how to detoxify your life, how to get out of a toxic relationship. And there are ways you can sell that online and don't have to leave your home. My goal now? At 71, I'm a grandfather and I'm a great-grandfather. And so my goal now is to sell my products online and I don't have to travel. I want to give you something of value you can leave and say, you know something? That does make sense. That does work. Because I've just shared with you, does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, here's something else. So, I did that. I went around and I gave free speeches and learning techniques and strategies from people like Eric who taught me how to sell. I was able to generate the money that I needed to buy my mother's home. I drove her back in the area. And she said, Leslie, slow down. I said, what is it, Mama? That house, slow down. I said, Mama, you really like that, don't you? She said, yes. I said, you won't believe me. She said, what is it? I said, I know the people who live there. She said, I know. I said, I do. I said, would you like to meet them? I'll bet you here and show you around. She said, yes. And so we drove up to the house. At that time, Mama was 78. I went around, opened the door, and took her out of the car. We started walking toward the door. She said, Leslie? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you sure you know these people? I said, yes, ma'am, Mama, I do. We got to the door, and I couldn't hold it any longer. I reached in my pocket, I put the key in, I turned the key. I said, Mrs. Rockefeller, this is your home. She said, you didn't have to go into debt to do this. I said, I know. I said, but you didn't have to adopt this either. She said, oh, Leslie. She said, well, you were such a problem here. I said, I know, but I got money now. OQP, only quality people.
Yeah.
Only quality people. You can't make it by yourself. You need somebody in your circle. They have more knowledge than you. They know things that you don't know. They have contacts and resources and relationships that you don't have. Dr. Dennis Kimbrough said, if you're the smartest one in your group, you need to get a new group. So, repeat after me, upgrade your relationships.
Upgrade your relationships.
And the other thing is, you've got to detoxify your life. There's some people that will never reach their goals because they have too many toxic, negative, energy-draining people in their lives. There's some people, if you never saw them again, it will be too soon. So, I'm telling you, there's some people you've got to let them go. Because that dark energy will compromise yours. Repeat after me, please. Let go.
Let go.
Or be dragged.
Or be dragged.
And that's major. Now, here's the other thing is, I want you to think about your goal, and I want you to think about your financial goal. Envision that. And once you earn that amount of money, it will alleviate stress in your life. Once you earn that amount of money, you'll be like me. You'll be debt-free. Once you earn that amount of money, you'll be able to do things for people you love and people you care about and donate to causes that you believe in. And I want you to visualize that now. And I want you to multiply it 10 times.
Wow.
10 times. And I'm telling you this based upon my own experience. Most people fail in life not because they aim too high and miss. Most people fail in life because they did what I did. I aimed too low and hit. I'm embarrassed to tell you, I didn't do what I'm doing now for 14 years. And that saddens me. Because there are people who are supposed to hear my voice. See, there's something wrong. We live in the greatest country in the world, where more people died last year from suicide to traffic accidents. There's something wrong with that, that the suicide rate among young people has increased 300%. You have an energy signature. There's certain people, when I speak, they're going to hear me. But there's certain people, when you speak, they're going to hear you. Something about you that will touch them in a special kind of way that I will never reach them. They'll hear me in their ears, but they will hear you in their heart. Am I making sense?
Yes.
And so as we look at ourselves, we want to help to promote hope. Write this down, hope. But there's hope in the future that gives you power in the present. I've had people come to me, Mr. Brown, I've been suffering with prostate cancer for 7 years. And I can tell you, you're going to be all right. They gave me hope. The words that were spoken to me by the doctors had no power once I spoke to these people who had gone through the experience. And I discovered more people died from the doctor's prognosis than from the disease itself. So hope is very important. That you believe in yourself, and that you believe and see and assume that you're already there. Assume that you are debt-free. Assume that things are getting better for you. You speak as if. Does that make sense to you right now? Yes. Now, the other thing is, you're going to have some problems. You're going to have some challenges. Nobody ever wanted to hear the words, you have cancer. The most feared word in 7 different languages. Doctor said, you have cancer. I said, can you give me a second opinion? Yes, and you're ugly too. I got problems. Have some fun. Broken, ugly, too. You know, you have to fuck too long, man. Can you feel a brother up there? So I believe in having fun. I really do. And as you think about your goals and dreams, you got a story. And how many of you like to learn how to tell your story? Raise your hands, please. Are you serious? Danny's going to come and talk to you because I have my best methods and techniques and secrets that I'm going to share with you through the trainers that we have that will blow your mind and teach you how to earn over $100,000 your first year without interfering with what you're doing. How many of you like that? All right? So make sure you listen to Danny. He's going to come up after I finish. If you'd like to be trained in the Les Brown methods of telling stories, everything depends upon a story. Politician, the story he tells about himself and the story he tells about his opponent. And I'm telling you what I know. You can tell a story, I just tell a story about how I became a disc jockey. The possibilities are limited. This is Mike Williams. I want you to write this down, The Road to Your Best Stuff. You can get his book on Amazon. If you ask me, what book would you recommend? I will not say Les Brown Live Your Dream. I'll say The Road to Your Best Stuff. This has been my mentor for 46 years. He's a brilliant young man. And he changed my life. I never forget. He's been telling me for 14 years, Brownie, you can speak. Come on, Mike. You entertainers here at the office all the time. You got a funny laugh. But listen, man, you love people. Everybody knows. When people are all sick, you're the one that called them. Oh, this is you, Brownie. I just couldn't see it. So I was at an event, and a guy came up to speak, and this guy was boring. And I looked at him and I said, I can do that. So, he changed my life. You know what he did? He changed my life. He said, there's somebody here, and you know who you are. The others of you, you're just here, you can overhear the conversation. But I'm only speaking to one person here, and you know who you are. And he said, you have more talent than I do, but you'll see it out there. You can speak with power, you can change millions of lives, but you're seated out there watching me. He said, I know I'm going. I get $5,000 an hour.
Oh my God.
He said, the reason that I'm standing up here holding this microphone speaking And you're seated out there is because I represent the thoughts you have rejected for yourself. Wow. I'm not here. I represent the thoughts you have rejected for yourself. I got up and I ran to the paper one night. I called Mike. It was 1980. I said, Mike? He said, what is it? That's what's going on. I said, I'm not rejecting myself anymore. You hear me? I'm not rejecting myself anymore. He said, Bobby, calm down. What is it? I said, listen to me. I'm not rejecting myself anymore, but I'm not going to do it. No. I need you to help me, Mike. I said, you're smart. I said, I just, you're the only person that believed in me other than my mother. And I need your help. Write this down. Ask for help. Not because you're weak, but because you want to remain strong. Ask for help. Don't stop until you get it. And I just got elected to the Ohio Legislature for the third time. And it was a defining moment in my life. This guy convinced me that I could do more than be a disc jockey. And I started booking concerts, 1973. These people came to town. Michael Jackson, I should have been 10, age 10. This little Photoshop, that's me standing in the back. When I can shake someone's hand on your right left and say, you have greatness within you, you don't know whose hand you shook. You don't know who you see it next to, who's in front of you, who's in back of you, or beside you. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Knows in her heart of any kind what God has in store for that person that's next to you. I had no idea who that young man was going to become. You have no idea who the person that you're seated next to is going to become. You have no idea what God is going to do with that person. Shake your hand, the person on your right and left, and say, I'm looking for the greatness to come out of you. Labeled educable memory talking, but back in the 5th grade, to the 4th grade, building again in the 8th grade, that I have the ability to be a voice of change. I wanted to be a difference in the community. I was elected in the Ohio Legislature. And I was elected 3 terms overwhelmingly. And then my 3rd term, it was a challenging moment in my life. I got a call from my brothers and sisters. Said, Leslie, what is it? Are you sitting down? No, what is it? Is Mama all right? Leslie, Mama has breast cancer. And but don't worry, you don't have to come. We're going to put her in a nursing home. I said, no. I said, we knew you would say that. Listen to me, Leslie. Be reasonable. I said, listen to me. Don't touch her. I will come. I elected to the Ohio Legislature for the 3rd time. You can go to the Senate. You can go to Congress. I said, I don't care anything about that. I'm going to calm down. I said, how are you going to make a living? I said, I'll figure that out. What did they get? I'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out.
So I resigned from the Ohio Legislature. I left within 2 days, and I went home. And a lady named Miss Moby was there. And she said, Mamie, Leslie's here. And I heard my mother say in the background, I knew he would come. I knew he would come. How many of you have someone you love that if something happened to them, you want them to know that you will be there for them? Raise your hand. And that's how I felt about my mother. I had no idea of what I was going to do. I had to figure it out. Warner Van Braun, 1961, John F. Kennedy, president of the time. They determined we were going to beat the Russians to the moon. The technology was not available. Computers did not exist. They didn't have a budget. They didn't know how to do it. But he called a news conference based upon 5 words and said, we're going to the moon in 10 years. What made him do that? And here's what those five words were. He looked at Wernher van Braun, the most brilliant scientist at that time, and said, Wernher, what will it take for us to go to the moon? And he said, the will to do it. The will to do it. Everybody repeat after me, please.
The will to do it.
What will it take for you to create wealth?
The will to do it.
What will it take for you to create your own business?
The will to do it.
What will it take for you to improve your health?
The will to do it.
What will it take for you to live a bigger life?
The will to do it.
Shake someone's hand on your right and left and say, I've got the will. I've got the will.
You got the will. You got the will.
The will to do it. Jesus said, who shall the will that him come? The will to do it. Most people don't have the will. Most people, because of rejection, because of setbacks, because they don't have the money, because they don't have the education. Same thing that I started out with. I didn't have the money, but I had the will. I had friends with PhDs and MBAs. They didn't have the will. They stopped, but I kept going because I had the will. I was determined. I was going to take care of that woman that you see. I was determined. I saw her go to work in pain, suffering from arthritis. And so mom was gone. So this is, how many of you have children? Raise your hands, please. Very good. We're going to train your kids. My kids will help work with you to train your kids. On your left, that's my son Patrick McCalvin. He is the CEO of the company. My youngest daughter, Serena, she's a business developer. John Leslie, he does business development and he's a speaker owner. He is a speaker and coach and Patrick. He's also a business developer. I wanted to build a company that I can pass on to my children. How many of you like to do that? Raise your hands. And we will show you a good man leaves a legacy for himself and for his children and for his children's children. And so these are my great grandsons. The one E3, we call him E3 because he runs all the time. You put him down, he starts running just like Forrest Gump. Running, running. And then Carson and Nigel. Those are my great grandsons. And I'm working on them. I want you to write these books down. You're in the right place. I want you to write this down to get these books. Technology will erase millions of jobs. That's Atlantic Monthly. Get that magazine. Read that article in the book called The Rise of the Robots. Okay? Get that. The future belongs to those who prepare for it. How many of you are ready to prepare? I went to a seminar and it was called Future Shock by Alvin Toffler. And as a result of that seminar, I started changing that poverty mindset to the mindset that allowed me, but I'll teach you how to earn millions of dollars. You have the ability to do it, but you've got to change your financial blueprint. How many of you are still in your heart of hearts? You can do it. Great chance. And so most people don't know that it's not because they don't have the talent or abilities, but that mental blueprint. I'd ask you, say, if you had your life to live over again, could you have done more? Most people know, yes. What happened? We've been blocked in our own self. There's an African proverb that says, if there's no enemy within, the enemy outside can do us no harm. Here's the last principle I want you to say with me, the power of healing and conviction. You got to be hungry.
You got to be hungry.
Everybody, all over here, say, you got to be hungry. Mr. Brown, what do you want to do with your life, young man? Sir, I want to buy my mother a home. I want to make my mother proud of me. He said, how do you plan to do that? I said, I'd like to be a disc jockey. He said, you got to be hungry. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, people that are hungry are willing to do the things today others won't do. In order to have the things tomorrow others won't have. Chase the one time you're right and left and say, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. said, yes, sir. He said, here are my car keys. He said, at 12 noon, I want you to go to the garage and sit in my car and listen to a guy named Paul Hogg. He's the world's greatest communicator. If you were hungry, you want to study the masses. Somebody is doing what it is you would like to do on the level that you would like to do it. And achieving on the level that you would like to achieve. Earning more in 1 hour than 90% of the American public earn working for a whole year. I don't tell you that to improve it, to impress you, but to impress upon you, the only reason you stay to hear me is that I'm confirming what you already know. I'm validating that which is already in you. I'm not saying anything that you don't already know. And I'm just encouraging you to live your life like you mean it. Life is too short, not living on your terms. Any questions?
Yep.
I just refused to be good. I said, no, I'm going to take care of my mother. Write this down. Become a no matter what person. I'm going to make this happen no matter what. Most people are wimps. Several no's and rejections and hits, they stop. The favorite book says, think you're not strange that you face the fiery furnaces of this world. You will, not you might. You will have tribulations. I'm telling you what I know. And so I want to become a disc jockey. Mr. Washington said, Mr. Brown, he said, listen to Paul Hogg every day. Listen to how he tells stories. He said, I want you to listen to this motivational tape by Earl Nightingale, the strangest secret in the world. He said, I want you to change your relationships. Stop hanging around people that you can learn from, people you can grow from. I said, I will, sir. He said, Mr. Brown, are you serious about doing this? I said, yes, sir. I said, all my life, people compared me to my brother. Very small, as you know. To my sister who graduated from the University of Miami. It takes me longer to learn things, Mr. Washington, than most people. I want to ask you something, sir. Yes, sir. Did you come by my house the other day? I said, sort of. No, tell me the truth. I said, yes, sir. It's been several days, hasn't it? I said, it's been 4 months, sir, 2 weeks. You collect my bottles, don't you? I said, yes, sir. Why don't you come in and say hello? I didn't want you to see me like this. What is an honest living? And you're the only person. If you believe in me, I would have just been a better one. Mr. Brown, I don't see you as a gospel. I knew this you, and I knew you were embarrassed to come in to allow me and Edith, my wife, to see you. But here's what I know about you. There's something about you. There's a hunger that you have that is rare. You talk about buying a house for your mother. And I see you doing that. I see it. Don't lose that hunger, young man. That's more important than book learning. That hunger. I said, I want that. Thank you for believing me. I want it. I promise you. So, tell me things to do. I practice those things, visualize myself being on radio. And he said, you need to go to WMBM radio station. Tell Milton Butterball Smith, I sent you. He knows me. He's one of my former students. I said, I will, sir. I went to apply for a job, WMBM radio station. Hello, Mr. Butterball. How are you, sir? My name is Les Brown, sir. I'd like to be a district. Mr. Washington told me to come to see you. You have any journalism in your background? No, sir. Have any experience in broadcasting? No, sir. But I'm good, sir. I visualize myself being on the air every day. I practice. Just give me a shot. Let me audition for you. He said, no, we don't have any job for you. How many have been rejected? Raise your hand. I was devastated with rejection. I went back and I said, Mr. Washington, he said, no. He said, don't take it personally. Most people are so negative, they have to say no 7 times. He said, you got to be hungry. Go back again. I said, yes, sir. Went back again. Hello, Mr. Butterball. How are you, sir? My name is Les Brown, sir. I'll have to make this job. I know what your name is. Weren't you here yesterday? Yes, sir, I was. Didn't I tell you no yesterday? Yes, sir, you did. He said, then why are you back today? Well, sir, I don't know whether or not somebody was fired or somebody was laid off. He said, no one was laid off or fired. Get it out of here. I came back the next day, talking loud, looking happy, like I was seeing you for the first time. Well, Mr. Butterball, how are you, sir? My name is Les Brown, sir. I like to be at this job. I know what your name is. Weren't you here the last 2 days? Yes, sir. Did I tell you you know the last 2 days? Yes, sir. Then why are you back today? Well, sir, I don't know whether or not someone got sick or someone died. No one got sick or died. No one was laid off for 5. Why don't you come back here again? I came back the next day. Talking loud. Looking happy. Like I'm singing for the first time. Hello, Mr. Farrell. How are you? He looked at me with rage. He says, go get me some coffee. I said, yes, sir. Provide more service than you get paid for. Mm-hmm. Provide more service than you get paid for. Most people don't know the day is gone where you can say, oh, that's not in my job description. You got to do what you want. You got to find ways to make yourself stand out. So I didn't even hear anymore from this job. I go get their lunch and their dinner. They didn't pay me to do it. But I want to get into the control room and watch them work in their hands on the control board, memorizing their hand movements, knowing my time will come. Let me say it ever, I expect to win.
I expect to win.
I'm going to learn all I can. Right now.
Right now.
Well, the weekends, they come out to the parking lot. The cars will be clean, the inside and waxed and outside. They said, hey, who did this? I did, sir. How much you charge, young boy? Oh, nothing, sir. I just wanted to help out. The people you visit, the people they know, like, and trust. They said, look here, Guy Ross and the Supremes are coming to town. The Four Tops and the Temptations. Here are my car keys. Pick them up and take them to the Fountain Blue Hotel on Miami Beach. It'll be my pleasure, sir. I would drive these entertainers all over Miami Beach and the discharge these big, long Cadillacs. I didn't have any driver's license, but I was driving my car. My name is a Saturday afternoon. A disc jockey by the name of Rockin' Roger was breaking while he was on the air. Rockin' Roger got so drunk, he could not complete the show. He was stuttering his words, about to fall off the chair. It's a Saturday afternoon, and I was the only one there. He said, well, I can't complete the program. I said, I know. He said, will you call one of the other DJs in? I said, yes, sir. I hung the phone up. I said, now you must be very outrageous. I called my mom and my girlfriend, Cassandra. I said, y'all come out on the front porch and turn on the radio. I'm about to come on the air. I said, Mr. Klein, I can't find nobody. He said, young boy, you know how to work the controls? I said, yes, sir. He said, go on there and say, the record is built. Don't you say nothing here. I said, yes, sir. I put on a fast truck and I said, look out, this is me, LD, Triple P. Let's fly without a plan, Papa. There will never be for me and there will be none after me. Therefore, that makes me the one and only. You can say my love to me, go certified, bonafide. You will be qualified to bring you satisfaction and a whole lot of action. Look out, sweat for it and fret for it and plan for it and lose all your terror of the opposition for it. And if you simply go for that thing that you want with all of your capacity, strength and sagacity, faith, hope, and confidence, and stern pertinacity. If neither cold, poverty, famish, or dull, sickness, or pain of body and brain can keep you away from the thing that you want, if dogged and grim you besiege and beset it with the help of God, you'll get it. This has been Mr. Jimmy Brown. Thank
you. How many of you do have a